Okay, this is going to be sort of a little mini side interview.
Okay.
We're going to be talking to Marilyn Kirsting, and that's Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff from the Kinsley Library. It's March 30th, 2011, and we're in the Kirsting home. And we'll just start with the beginning questions. What's your full name?
Marilyn Harriet Kirsting.
And your maiden name was?
Brochner.
And why don't you go ahead and spell that for our transcriber?
Okay, if the whole Brochner. Yeah. Okay, Brochner is Brochner.
And when and where were you born?
I was born on what was called the Edwards Ranch, which was south of Ardell. And it was was born in the house that Mr. Edwards had built. And I believe he was going to call that his summer home, as I remember. But I don't believe he ever got to live there. I think the first people that lived in it was my dad and his two brothers. And they were called the Prochner brothers at that time.
And they weren't married yet?
No, none were married at that time. As soon as my dad was the first to be married, then the other two boys left, and my mother and dad lived in that house.
And Mr. Edwards lived in Kinsley, is that correct?
Now that, I believe, is correct.
And is that's the Edwards that Edwards County or not?
Do you know which Edwards it is? Is it, there's two Edwards.
Do you know the first name?
No, I can't tell you. I don't know. I just think he's the man that Edwards County was named after.
We can look that up at the county courthouse, I bet. Because he built the house and things. So we'll get that.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. I'd like to know the complete history.
Okay, and then what were the names of your parents?
My dad was Harry Alvin Prochner, and my mother was Clara Eva Wetzel Prochner.
And what were the names of their parents, your grandparents?
My mother's parents were Charlie and Laura Wetzel. And my dad's parents were Alvin and Sophie Prochner.
And Sophie's maiden name?
Martin, I believe. Martin, M-A-R-T. It's spelled a little different. Might have a G on the end. I'm not sure.
Did you give the maiden name of the Prochner grandmother?
That was Sophie was Martin, and my grandma Wetzel was a Krupp from north of Kinsley.
And how do you spell that?
K-R-U-P-P.
Okay, that was one I missed. And what brought those grandparents to Edwards County? Was it that the generation that came? Or one before that?
The Wetzel side, I think, came from Germany, at least, the Wetzels, and they settled in Pennsylvania, and then they moved out to Overly, Kansas.
And that was your grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, grandfather, and then he met grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Krupp from the local area. And my grandparents on the Prochner side, grandfather came over, I believe his dad was already in the Larned area, and he came and he settled in Larned area, and I believe then he moved down to Coldwater, and I'm not sure they lived over south of Ardell. He bought the land, Jack?
I think so.
Where Ernest and Ganilda used to live.
And so all of your ancestors are German.
Yes.
What was your makeup of your household like? Did you have brothers, sisters?
Yes, I have three brothers. Kermit Prochner lives Spearville, and J.D. lives north of Ardell, and Jerry lives out in Colorado Springs.
And where were you in the birth order there?
I was the oldest.
You were the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The girl was the oldest. What was it like growing up in your house? What was it, a farm
family?
Farm family. My mother never worked outside the home. She had housekeeper at times, especially in time summer, you know, there would be like some girls that would help with the harvest, especially when they had to cook for large harvest crews. And
were those other girls from the community?
One of them in particular was a Krupp girl. She was a relative, and I thought she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen. That was Dorothy Krupp. And then she had what was the man that worked for Dad? Cleo Katz. I believe Cleo Katz and his wife. She would help Mother, and Cleo helped my Dad. But they would have lots of hired help in the summer. Mm-hmm. And especially when the mothers would have babies, you know, they would be bedfast for 2 weeks or so. And nowadays, you know, they get everybody up the same day they have a baby. But after 2 weeks of being flat on your back, you hardly could get up and carry your baby.
Yeah.
But they had nursemaids or someone that would come into the...
What was that? That's a German word we're getting into?
No,
what is it?
Actually, I don't know that they even called them a nursemaid.
Oh,
but,
nursemaid,
you know,
okay.
It would be just a helper.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But they also... the doctor would come out to the place and deliver the baby, and he'd bring a nurse, and the nurse would probably stay for a short time, too. So
what were your chores in that household with all this harvesting and everything going on?
Well, I drove truck some.
When did you start? How old were you?
I don't want to say because I wasn't supposed to be
driving. Well, that's all right. No, we haven't had an interview yet that was a proper age.
I think that I was probably driving at 14, probably. A lot of it was just out in the fields.
Sure.
But I think I probably made a few trips to Overly when I shouldn't have been. Probably helped, it did help my mother a lot.
The cooking?
The cooking, and we had two little brothers. Kermit was more my age, but the two boys were quite a bit younger. So if I wasn't helping with the cooking or cleaning, why, I was probably being a babysitter.
And did you have gardens, chickens, things like that too?
Yes. I did quite a bit with chickens. You know, that was kind of a project. You know, we tried to see if we could make money with feeding and then the eggs, if the eggs would pay for what the feed went out, and of course we had a lot of that. We just used right within the family. But gardening, we also had garden, and the picking and canning, we did a lot of canning. I helped my mother a lot with that.
And did you have milk cows?
Not that I had to help with. I think my dad, he didn't do that too much, you know. It was, I think, something that we probably were raised with till maybe I was 10 or so, but I don't have much recollection.
You didn't have to separate cream or anything?
No.
Nothing like that. And your mother sewed your clothes? And
quite a bit of them. And I actually sewed a lot of my children's clothes until they became embarrassed. I thought it was cute to dress all three of my girls alike at Christmas, and I think they put up with it. But once they were junior high age, you know, they wanted their clothes to look like their friends' clothes.
I'm trying to think. Have we said where you were growing up, where the farm was located?
I was raised right there on that Edwards Ranch.
On the Edwards. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so they stayed. They actually stayed there.
Yeah, it's
mm-hmm. Okay. You were pretty young. Do you have any memories of the Depression or the Dirty 30s? Or you were pretty young at that time.
I was young. I remember an uncle having to go away to war and how concerned the family was, and that was Ernest Prochter. And news of the war, I can remember at school when the war, when they talked about the war being over, oh, Uncle Ernie gets to come home. And that was, he was the only real close family member that was involved in war, but it was really heartwarming. I mean, it was heartwarming when he got to come home, and we had to, we would go to the train to see him off, you know, the day he left for, to go overseas.
And he got on the train right in Overly?
Kinsley. I recall.
And you did see him off.
It was middle of the night, and we came back home, and I have this recollection of my dad and probably some of his brothers putting in a floor furnace that day, you know, the, in the house.
Now, you were of German descent, and World War II involved fighting Germans. Do you remember anything that...
Well, Ernest would go, he made contact with some of his relatives in Germany. And really, this was against all regulations. But he went into the house, he made contact with a relative, and on their buffet or piano was a picture of Ernest, his confirmation picture. It just was, you know, so unusual. When my grandfather was down in the Coldwater area, there was animosity against Germans, and my grandfather still had very close ties to Germany, and he had a picture on his wall of Kaiser Wilhelm. And the neighbors, you get that off your wall. Well, he took that picture, and he put a baby picture of my dad and my Uncle Bill over top of that, of Kaiser. And we have that picture. That would probably be
something. You still have the Kaiser picture? Or
We can take it Bill and Harry off, and Kaiser is under there. And we can show that to you. That might be one of the really interesting things.
Did you speak German in your family?
My folks understood it. My dad spoke only German until he went to school. I think all the Grotschner boys, maybe Ernest, maybe they did enough speaking of English by the time he was old enough. But the others, that's the only language I think they knew until they went to school.
But did you learn any?
No. Understand a few words, but I never learned enough to really speak.
Okay, so you went to school in Overly.
Overly.
Mm-hmm. What was it like going to school? What building was it at this time?
Well, it's gone now. It was a lengthy grade school, and I can still picture, you know, where the lunchroom was, and
close to where it is now, right or not?
I'd say pretty close. The high school was to the south. It must not have been identical spot because I think they built the new school. But
the old school was still there when I came out.
Was it okay?
Sort of across the parking lot or something? You might remember.
It was right south of the present school.
Okay.
Where the shop is now.
Okay.
And about how many students in your class? Or
very small. High school graduation class, I believe we just had 6. When we were grade school, there may have been a few more. But one real tragedy when I was a third grader was during the summer months. One of the boys was accidentally shot by his cousin, and that just, you know, tore us up pretty much. We were, being a small class, we were real close to each other.
What other memories do you have of the school, or elementary or high school, either one? Because you went all through your school,
right,
to Ann Arbor.
Right.
We were mm-hmm. consolidated at this time.
Just the normal, probably small class and good instructors. I felt like they were very good instructors.
Basketball.
How yeah, basketball.
You played basketball.
Played
well,
basketball.
Tell us what basketball was like for women back then.
Nothing like it is today. I would never be able to do what the girls do today. We were half court. We had guards on one side and the forwards on the other, and we were fortunate to have a tall girl on our team, so we did well. I think we were undefeated for several years. But, you know, none of this up and down the court, I just am amazed how sturdy the girls are.
I think you got two dribbles, didn't you?
I believe that's right. You know, it was just very...
Did you play other schools with the girls?
Oh, yes.
Schools?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. In fact, there's still a lady that I think I played against. Her husband's now, he was a representative.
He's
of
retired
it.
Representative.
Yeah.
Salmons.
But I can't remember. I know I played against a Maryland somebody, and I think that's her. I often wanted to go up to her and ask her, you know, if she didn't play basketball back in the 50s. But yes, we mostly the North and South League, like I said before, with Windhorst and Spearville, Offerly, Roselle, Burdett, Hanston.
And did you play the same night as the boys, or was it a different night? Do you remember how that went?
I believe it was the same night. I think it was probably kind of like it is today. You know, the girls played first and then the boys.
On Friday night, probably.
I'd hate to really say for sure. I've gone through several kids and grandkids, so
yeah,
I know what it's like to now, but I don't remember what days or, you know, if we had a game every week.
And you graduated what year?
1955.
And then you went to K-State?
I went to K-State.
Now, how did you pay for your college?
Actually, I was pretty fortunate. My parents pretty much, you know, supported my schooling.
Okay. So they had an importance of education, and the girls,
mm-hmm.
it was important girls we educated,
right.
too.
Uh-huh.
And what did you go up to K-State to study?
I studied home economics.
To be a teacher or to...
Well, actually, with an education background, but I never have taught. You know, we had got married and had children, and so I suppose the main thing that I've done with my education was plan my home. You know, we had like design classes, and so I've designed my house the way I wanted it.
And you built this home?
We built it. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of our own labor into it. Billy Wetzel framed it for us, and he's gone, long time gone, but then Rex Strait did part of it. Actually, the basement was done by a man out of Dodge City, and Rex Strait's men did the cabinet work, and they questioned a lot of things that I wanted, you know, like I wanted my kitchen cabinets on one side 2 inches lower and the other side 2 inches higher, and why would you want that? You know, and it's just things that we learned at college, you know, so you don't have to bend over a sink, and like when you're, if you're rolling out pastries and things, why certain heights are best for you, and they stressed that in college, so Rex Strait's man really...
Yeah, they were good.
They were good at obeying what you wanted, but they questioned, you know, why.
So how did you meet this handsome man here beside you?
Well,
she doesn't remember.
Oh, yes. Well, not really, I guess. I had a roommate. It happened to be Valentine's Day. And we got out of a class, and we were walking back to the dorm. And she said, let's stop in at the Presbyterian Youth Center And she said they're going to have cookies or something there, and just people that are off classes come in, and so there were several people in there, and I suppose I may have been introduced. I'm not sure. But actually, it didn't soak in, you know. And then,
oh, you didn't impress her.
Not at all. She impressed me.
So he calls my roommate and wants a date with me, and I'm trying to figure out who is he. And I remembered one other man there that I wasn't particularly impressed with, but I thought, well, it must be the one that Jack told me later was Al Cervinka.
My roommate.
His roommate. But no, I didn't have any recollection of who I was going to have this blind date with, or it was a double date. So... yeah, it was the most expensive movie of the time, Raintree County. And the fact that they were going to take us to Raintree County, and it was going to be a double date, and I liked my roommate, Sharon, I accepted. So that's how we started. I was not at all knowing who I was going with.
And how long before he popped the question?
Oh, actually, that was February, and next Christmas.
57. So, yeah, it was 58. Christmas of 58.
No, 57.
Oh, we met 58.
Didn't we? 58. Okay.
February of 58.
Well, because we were married. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right.
And then you got married when?
June of 59.
Okay, so... And can you tell us a little bit about your wedding? It was back here.
It was at Zion. It was a nice, small wedding. I mean, there were quite a few people invited just to invite our relatives. Yeah. Made it a big event. But we didn't have the dance or the meal. It was just a wedding and then a reception in the basement. And that was it.
Traditional wedding dress. Uh-huh. And
oh, yes.
Flower girls and that sort of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three, a matron of honor, two bridesmaids, and a flower girl and ring bearer. And I was honored that my daughter wanted to wear my wedding dress at her wedding, mm-hmm. so that it is now in her possession. She can care for it. Mm-hmm. But it was talk about differences of prices. We went to Wiley's in Hutchison to select the dress, and there were cheaper dresses, but this one really impressed me and looked nice on me. But it was expensive, and it was $150.
Oh, which it was. Yeah.
It was very expensive. But my dad said, if that's the one she wants, we're going to get it. But now I see in...
It's good to be the only girl, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But now there are formals that are... My granddaughter was showing me a dress that she got on sale, and she was so proud. She's going to wear it to the junior-senior prom. And I think it cost her $49, but it was a $400 junior-senior dress, you know, and it's like... So I had to tell her the story about the wedding dress that cost my dad $150, which was very expensive at that time.
And did you have a honeymoon?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Well, tell us a little bit about that.
It was short because Jack was working for the agronomy department at that time. So we left after the wedding on a Sunday afternoon and probably back by Thursday or so.
Wasn't very long.
Went to the Ozarks.
And then you went back to K-State to finish your last year?
Well, I was finished.
Oh,
I just finished just 2 weeks before we were married. But he had to finish then his master's degree.
And he finished in December, was it? Trying to remember from the other interview.
Right, yeah. December.
And so you lived in, did you have apartment, married housing? What was it back then?
Well, actually it was the apartment above the Presbyterian
student center.
Yeah, a student center. And it was just actually a little wood frame home. It wasn't a fancy office or anything, but it was...
small kitchen, a bedroom, and a living room.
And a bathroom. And a bathroom.
Mm-hmm. All we needed.
Yeah. And then you came back here
mm-hmm.
and to settle when he was finished. And
that's when we lived with my folks for just a little bit.
Till
the baby was born. And then we, Caitlin. And then we moved over to the Beeler Ranch, which was, it's completely gone now, the house, but it was, it had two bedrooms, a living room, a bathroom, and a kitchen. Pretty small. The Joe Shaler family had lived there, and they had lots of children. I often marveled at how they could have all lived in this house.
We live in another Shaler house that I, different Shaler, but I marveled at there, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you had your baby 3 months after you came back here, about, and I'm looking at the chart.
Uh-huh.
It was March 2nd, 1960. And you talked a little bit earlier about how, you know, there was a confinement for 2 weeks for ladies. What was it like for you?
We were in the hospital 5 days. And then no restrictions. You know, I think they were more getting over the bed rest and that type of thing. But it was 5 days for all four of my children. And that was, they'd weigh the babies each day and make sure they were gaining weight. And I marvel at today's changes. You know, I think they release them too soon. They should at least a couple days, I think.
Yeah, well, you just have the baby and go home.
Right, some of them.
So in your lifetime, that's something we've never really brought up before, but you saw it going from 2 weeks to 5 days to now with your...
Right.
And the next generation, it's just overnight.
Right, and I marvel at like, my mother had the babies in the home, you know, and that, I have no idea, you know, what type of circumstances that might have been under. Anesthesia. I don't know if they mm-hmm. had any kind of.
I don't think so.
But I marvel at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had pretty much up to date sedatives mm-hmm. and things.
So. Let's see. What else did we need to? And you never worked outside the home.
Well, I have had some jobs.
Okay. What have you done?
I've worked at the appraiser's office at the courthouse in Kinsley.
And when did you start that? After the kids were grown, or?
Pretty much they were probably, I would say Laura was probably through grade school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I worked appraisal and then reappraisal. And then I worked 10 years. Then I worked for Kansas Crop and Livestock, which was kind of part time. You know, it was like interviewing people, going out and checking crops. And then I worked at the Oferle Co-op for 10 years.
And did you work to help supplement the farm income? Is that the reason, or to get out of the house? Or?
Well, probably a combination. No, I think probably the supplement.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you became part of the auctioneer
right,
that Jack
right.
has talked
uh-huh.
about. I'm trying to think what else. You were helped us out, I think, with the discussion on consolidation. Oh, well, we didn't do this with Jack, so maybe Jack can also help here. Tell us about the Lutheran Hospital and you know, how that was run, time periods, and like, you can both do this somehow.
We were elected from our churches, the board members were elected from our churches, and it was Kinsley Lutheran Church, Garfield, and Zion. Byron Meeks was our attorney at that time, and I can't recall the name, the last name of the administrators, but there were two Dons, D-O-N, one followed the other one, and we met monthly, and we started out, I think maybe we got mileage and maybe $10 or something, and then as we went into it, the administrator says, "This is ridiculous. You people aren't getting paid enough," and they started paying us $100 per meeting.
Oh,
but at that time, the hospital had a lot of money.
And it was located where?
It was located. It was where the hospital is now. Now the old hospital was out on the east edge of town, and that was, and I don't know who ran that one. I got on the board after, I guess, the new hospital, but it's been remodeled. To me, the new one now is so remodeled.
The new hospital where it is now started out as a Lutheran?
Yes. Well, it was when I was on the board. It was Lutheran Hospital, and when Marge Scheifler, during her term as the county commissioner, they wanted to take it over. So the Lutherans said, "Fine, we don't have any problem with that." So the county took it over. But
the new hospital was built after
the way it's remodeled and everything now. But it's right at the same place, so... no, the hospital at that time was the... You know, the west wing of where the county health department
mm-hmm.
is?
Mm-hmm.
That was the area of the old hospital, and
mm-hmm.
that was where it was when... And so the new hospital, the new hospital,
is...
That the county did that. I remember people talking about the old hospital out east. The state came in and they were complaining the halls weren't wide enough
mm-hmm.
and all these details. So I think the state basically forced them to build a new hospital. And when that was built, I don't know. I know it was after we came out here, because when I came out here one time, Marilyn's mother was in the old hospital. And...
sometime we've got that date back
here.
Okay.
One of my brothers was born in the old hospital. He was born in 52.
Jerry was in the new hospital?
Well, no, the old one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Where was Jerry? Oh, Jerry was born there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're going to have to, because we've got to be somewhere else, but is there anything else that you specifically wanted to ask her to supplement? We've covered a lot of Marilyn's on Jack's interview.
This place here, was it a Froschner? Did it Froschner's homestead, this land right here?
This is what was called the Winkler place. And
W-I-N-K-L-E-R?
Right. And it's still, some people still think of it as the Winkler place.
Yeah.
But it was owned by Wagner.
Yeah.
And Dad got it through, he bought it on a deal where he bought the land, and then the people that owned it got some benefit in it, and then when they died, it became Dad's. And I think that was in 39, if I remember correctly. Dad told me, I think it was 39.
So this has been Froschner Kirsting since 1939? Is that
pretty much in that era?
Mm-hmm. And Winklers would have homesteaded?
No.
No, Wagner's.
Wagner's homesteaded it. Winkler just rented it. But
okay.
They apparently owned it so long that people knew it as mm-hmm. the Winkler place. And they had a son that was stopped to death by a horse out here in the barn.
So, we had a huge barn that this last tornado, it leaned it so much that our son, during the summer months, well, he had 1 year at home, and he took that barn down. But it, there, the tornado also took off of the foundation the original Wagner homestead house, which after we did a little reading on homesteading, it was the actual dimensions that a house had to be called a homestead home.
And that tornado was just, like you said, 3 years ago?
Two or three.
Well, Connie was in Wichita. We were down there. That must have been her sophomore year. It'd be 3 years ago.
I think that's right. It was and 1 year after Greensburg.
Yeah. So, my husband lost some stuff.
What month was that?
I'm sorry.
What month?
Must have been May.
Yeah.
So May of 2009? Is that what we're saying? I think it must have been
2008.
Wasn't Greensburg 7?
Yes.
I think it was 1 year after Greensburg.
It started down here south of Lutheran Church, that storm, and went clear up east of Kingsley. Mm-hmm. Hit here and there, tore up a shed, and down here just a mile east. That scattered it out in the cornfield and went, hit that sector, the town, to that house. Don't you own that land right south of Kingsley?
Just right south of Kingsley, yeah. It took it out. It didn't take down Avery's house, but it
closed. Messed it up.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. So that was the same one.
It took down Galen's farm and scattered stuff.
Okay, anything else that, can you think of anything else you want to
add?
Well,
something really, I think, interesting was when my dad farmed the land, the Edwards Ranch. The Santa Fe Trail went through some of the land he farmed. And he talked about the Santa Fe ruts, how hard they were to farm. And I always thought that was fascinating.
Because they'd been packed down.
And then there was a man that came out from back east, I believe. He had heard about this buried treasure that I'm sure everybody's acquainted with the story about around Kinsler. But he was convinced it might be in that area close to the river. And he had some type of a
metal detector?
Yeah, probably metal detector.
Yeah, his car had was driven by chain drive. Now, that's what I was told. It was driven by chain drive.
But he had something attached underneath, I think, to detect metal.
Oh, okay.
But there were, I guess this was probably during the 30s, and lots of thistles. And he was driving back and forth across the land and got thistles tied up in his chain drive or whatever.
It got tangled up.
And so he had to quit his...
Doggone, didn't find it.
Didn't find it.
And where is the treasure supposed to have come from?
Well, that was...
Wagon train.
A wagon train. You probably know the story just from the library.
But I was just trying to get it on the tape.
Okay. Well...
Go ahead.
Well, we heard that it was a wagon train that the Indians were attacking. And they had this treasure, and they buried this treasure supposedly by a cottonwood tree or a big tree, and
something about in a Dutch oven or in some kind of a kettle or something. And so this is
never been found.
Never been found.
At least, unless the Indians found it and didn't tell anybody.
The Indians weren't interested too much.
Yeah,
but. You know, if you think of how the river has changed its course.
Right.
You know, and this was early.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know where it
actually was.
But lots of people have looked for it, and we've researched it several times. We have a file, and we just go...
Well, I'd like to read that file sometime, because it supposedly was in this area, but then you talk to somebody from out of this area, and that treasure is... supposedly in their area.
Yeah. So. One time we heard it was west of Dodge City.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you know, it could have been on the other side of the river.
Right.
You know, or
that's yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Is there anything else that we need?
I don't think so.